Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. Well, apparently the biggest event in pro football, at least in the 21st century's history, took place earlier today. We're coming at you on Thursday. The Johnny Football Pro Day has wrapped up. Let's kibitz about it now with a full boat here in Studio 66. First of all, seated to my immediate right from NFL.com and NFL Network, it's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Certainly, certainly. Next up.
Nobody tell Mark Cuban, but I think that Johnny Manziel Pro Day outdrew his Mavericks and Thunder from Tuesday night.
Yes, overexposure of the NFL. We'll see.
We're doomed.
Apparently, 10 years into Johnny Manziel's pro career, the NFL will crumble. So be on the lookout for that. Next up, from London, England, he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah? Yeah.
Good to
be here. You feeling sad now or a little foolish that for all those years you rooted for Dan Marino, not realizing that that Johnny Football was going to consume our lives at some point?
Dan Marino was merely paving the way for Johnny Football to arrive.
Yes. It was all prelude to this event there. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, because we haven't seen him in some time, since the last time we saw his shadow here in Studio 66, he's positively taken over the NFL media, nay, the NFL period. Here he is, everybody, at Move the Sticks. It's Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop, fancy pants?
I can't tell you how good it feels to be back in the studio with you guys, man.
It does.
This is home. You know, whatever else happens in life, this right here, this is home.
Keeps you grounded.
I thought you were raised better than to lie to us.
No, this is. I love this. Is my. I mean, we shared. First of all, the plane cast.
Right.
That's a moment they can't take away from any of us.
And
who would be trying to take that away? Oh, black tie.
Well, by the way, coming up in New York City is the NFL draft. Also, there is talk. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Subway cast?
No, not subway cast. Horse and carriage cast.
Whoa, even better.
Central Park. How about that? Beep, beep. Well, I guess we won't beep to you from a horse and carriage. You'll hear the horses cloppity, clippity, clop coming at you, and that will be how you know it's time to jump in.
By the way, I haven't been here in so long. I think I know the answer to this, but who ended up winning the most valuable guest at the Sheckies?
Are you kidding me? You've been in here since then.
I don't know that. I never got the answer. I didn't get an award in the mail, so I know I didn't win.
Yeah, it was your
question.
British.
Did you receive a trophy?
No, I did not.
It was your British doppelganger. Handsome Hank,
that's
congratulations
well
again.
I can't fight City Hall on that.
Yeah, I've been getting some emails. Speaking of the Sheckie Awards, I've been getting some emails lately, and it's true. As good a year for fruit as 2013 was, that's how bad 2014's been so far. Not good thus far. I've not enjoyed the apples, which won the fruit of the year, you know? So anyway, listen, we can talk about that in a little bit. I want to kibitz about Johnny Football's Pro Day. And I start with this. We kind of have kibitzed about this a little bit, DJ and company. But if you're a scout and you actually change your opinion because Johnny Football looked good today, after 2 years worth of watching him on game tape or being at the games, if this what you just saw for 20 minutes of him throwing it around in practice changes it, that makes you a bad scout, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the only thing on these pro days, I'll say, look, today's what it should look like. Johnny Manziel, you know, completing passes, throwing nice balls, deep ball, all that stuff. I think it was like 60 of 63 or 61 of 64, something like that. That's what they're supposed to look like. So you just kind of, it's comforting when you like a player on tape and you go there and you see that. Now, when somebody doesn't perform well like Teddy Bridgewater, then I think that can have more of an effect. I think you're more likely to hurt yourself is what I'm getting at a pro day than you are to just leapfrog over people. Now, we've seen in the past guys have those big pro days, but Jamarcus Russell, everybody likes to reference his pro day. But there was, I mean, it wasn't like he was some second-round pick on everybody's mind, and he goes to the pro day, it's like, oh, he's the first. I mean, he was viewed as the top quarterback. I mean, he won a lot of games at LSU. He's this big, strong guy. You kind of knew what you were buying there. So I think sometimes we get, you know, overstate, oh, this guy launched up the board, this quarterback, because of his pro day. A lot of these guys were there previously.
What is the, though, the optical illusion or the change in perspective that you get as a scout or anyone who's who's there standing on the sidelines today? What is the difference, then, of seeing him play, you know, play against Texas or whatever in the Big 12? What is going on there? That is it as simple as that? Like, well, you're looking at him against those athletes out there. You can't really see his arm strength.
If you're not in person, it's different. Watching a guy throw live in person is different. And because so many of the decision makers now, coaches have a lot more power and personnel than they used to 10 or 15 years ago. There's a lot of teams that are coach-driven now. And with Pete Carroll's success having the power in Seattle, I think you're going to see that trend continue. Bill Belichick, obviously, with all of his success. So the fact that coaches are more involved in that process, they have seen tape of these guys. They haven't seen them throw in person. Whereas the personnel side of things, they've been out and seen these guys play college football on Saturdays. They didn't have to prepare for an NFL game the next day. So this is the first opportunity for a Bill O'Brien, hypothetically, if he was returning as an NFL coach. Now, he was in college, so it's different. But if you're returning as an NFL coach, this is their first opportunity to see a Johnny Manziel live in person. So you might be like, well, I kind of question whether he can make this throw, but I've seen it with my own eyes. He's got plenty of velocity to do that, especially, you know, watch his footwork and how it all ties together.
Have you talked to anybody who was in person there? Obviously, you were hosting here at NFL Network, and of course, I've been remiss in not mentioning Path to the Draft with Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis and the rest of the fellas out there. Make sure you're tuning into that as we run up to the draft here. But have you heard from anybody who was on the scene there, Kurt Warner, Mayock and company, that, wow, he stunned us? Who knew he had this?
I mean, just during the broadcast, I mean, the guys were talking about he had plenty of arm. I think Paul Burmeister might even said at one point in time, he went to the Derek Carr workout as well, so he's the only one in our group that's seen all of them live. He felt like Manziel had the strongest arm of those big four quarterbacks. So, look, I put his arm right up there. I felt all along that his arm was stronger than Blake Bortles. People just had a tough time wrapping their mind around that because you look at him physically, Blake Bortles is this big dude, man. He kind of looks like somebody that had that power arm. But I equate it to, like, Roger Clemens is Blake Bortles, and then Johnny Manziel is like Pedro Martinez, and you're like, or, you know, Lincecum, and you're like, how does he generate that much juice? You know, he's not a real big guy.
That's an interesting analogy. I like that one quite a bit. So, do you think, well, speaking of trends and maybe going forward, will any pro day from a quarterback now ever be done without the pads on? I mean, this seems like now the new standard has been set. It is hokey. Why would you go out there when it isn't a direct sort of assimilation of what, or as close as you can get to what's going on the field? Why have they not worn pads?
It's different. I mean, look,
I've put pads on.
You guys know my college career was very meager. Okay, but at App State,
a pro day?
I graduated in December and was a smart enough feller to realize that that wasn't going to happen for me. Gil Brandt, to this day, go ask him. Go say, how was DJ's pro day? He didn't show up. He's like, why didn't you show up? I'm like, Gil, I was back in California, man. I'd already taken a job. I knew I wasn't playing the NFL. But he still remembers the fact that I wasn't there. But. Honey, where are we going here? What are we talking about?
Well, you're just laying it out for me if the pads are now.
Oh, yeah, going back
thing.
To the pads. Thank you. It's been a long day. A lot of pro day stuff here. But I didn't like coming out for warm-ups. Like, we would come out and throw the ball around with no pads on. I didn't like doing that because then when I put pads on, then I felt heavy. Like, it just felt different throwing. So I prefer not to do it. I prefer always just keep
all right,
the pads
that
on.
Being said, if Johnny Football gets drafted higher than he, or if he is the number one quarterback taken, or how next year that all the QBs will be wearing their pads, right?
I'm sure teams are happy with it. I mean, the funny thing is, we've always talked for a long time in scouting, like at the combine, it'd be great if you know, run your 40, throw your gear on. Let's put your gear on and see if you can carry that stuff.
Right, but then your point about pro days generally. Isn't there more to be gained from actually throwing at the combine than there is? You know, people say I'm going to save it for my pro day, and I get that. But if you're saying that you can't really move up the draft board particularly because you throw well at your pro day. Isn't there more to be gained from throwing a combine?
Well, you know, like this is when you're an elite quarterback, when you're one of those guys that's been talked about as a top 10 pick, you know, it's probably not good for our network to say this, but I don't think it's the biggest deal that they throw at the combine. If you're comfortable, and these workouts are so scripted, it's hard to screw them up. Now, Teddy Bridgewater did, right. You know, that was unfortunate for him. And so it's easy to say, well, you should have thrown at the combine.
And you think it, and as you've said, you're on record that he has hurt his draft stock. How significantly will he drop now?
Well, I mean, it only takes one team, so that's why it's hard to say how far he's going to slide. My last mock draft, I, you know, kind of came up with a plan to say, okay, there's conceivable he could slide down to 26.
Sure, that makes perfect sense to me.
The guy could also be the third pick in the draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They need a quarterback. So, but you can find plausible situations where at least one of these guys drops down. I think Johnny Manziel probably just cemented his status. He's going to be a top 10 pick. I'd be very surprised if he didn't go. I think you start at Jacksonville. I mean, Houston. I mean, start at Houston. At least it's going to be considered.
Our pal Ross Tucker, and I encourage you to dig up his podcast earlier this week. I kibitzed with him over the phone about some rules changes. He says that there's no chance. He's just not a Bill O'Brien type of QB. True or false?
He doesn't fit. I mean, from a style standpoint. Now, we've seen other coaches adapt their style to the quarterback they've had. I mean, Pete Carroll at USC was kind of known as he wants that big pocket. I mean, look at Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. You go all the way down the line. The guys he's always been around, the Mark Sanchez, Matt Leinart, the big tall guy. Then he kind of changed. He's got a 5'10 quarterback that could really play, and he went for it and kind of changed the way he did business, and it worked out for him. So there's teams that will be flexible on that. But if you just look at what he's had, I think I looked it up a while ago, but over the last 2 years with Hackenberg and McGloin, I think the quarterbacks at Penn State, it was like minus 160-something rushing yards. Johnny Manziel led the SEC in rushing as a freshman.
All right.
We've seen different styles.
But the Texans are on the verge. I think from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense for them to get Johnny Football, but they're very close to following that Seahawks model of having the dominant defense, that if they picked up Clowney, that would be a great place for, you know, you might as well do that. But I think the league, I mean, I've said this before, and we talk about this at great length. The NFL is one big corporation with 32 branch offices. I think the commissioner should just call up Jacksonville and said, look, you're taking Johnny Manziel, you're going on Hard Knocks, and you're going to be a profitable franchise for us. And then that's it.
Devil's advocate, the uniforms. I don't think we want to do anything that highlights and puts those uniforms on our eyeballs on a regular basis.
One thing real quick here before I got to take off. The first overall pick with Houston. If you wanted to make the case for Johnny Manziel,
right?
Like today we saw him throwing indoors. And one of the things he said after the workout I thought was interesting. Mayock asked him about his poor performance against LSU. And he said, well, you know, the weather and the rain. I'm not going to make an excuse about the weather and the rain. Well, you just talked about the weather and rain. Immediately I went, okay, Cleveland, that's not the best weather there. But Houston, picking number one, you're guaranteed 9 games indoors every year because you go to Indianapolis for one. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to have another couple sprinkled in there. So Johnny Manziel, if he's worried about the weather, just go to Houston. You don't have to worry about it.
Is that bad? Is that a consideration that a scout would make, that because the history is not great for a guy going to his hometown or to his home region? Is that sort of maybe something the Texans think about? Like, we don't want this kid. That'll be extra pressure on him.
You know, I've heard it both ways. I've heard people say,
me, in my head, it makes perfect sense. Do that, of course.
You know, I've had people say, should go to Houston because that's in his comfort zone, and that'll be the easiest transition for him. And then the other, he just needs to get away. He needs to get away, go somewhere remote. You know, Jacksonville would be great because he can kind of get away from Houston, and maybe that'd be better for him. Nobody knows. Everybody's guessing.
All right, real quick before you run out of here. So, Johnny Football, you think we'll go to the Jaguars? If you were drafting for them, that would be your pick.
Oh, man.
Let's go through the names. Name the team. Let's mix and match real quick. It'll be the fastest way to do it before you run.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel plays for what team?
Johnny Manziel plays for, I'm going to say Minnesota.
Ooh, Derek Carr.
No. I take that back. I'm saying Minnesota.
Derek Carr will be where?
Derek Carr, I'll say Cleveland.
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles will be in Tampa.
Upset special. That's an interesting one. I like that Derek Carr, the big arm in Cleveland with those,
receivers. What about the Raiders for Bortles?
Oh, I think he'd be in play there. But you know what? I take that back. No, I think with them going out and getting Schaub, signing Woodley, signing Justin Tuck, bringing in Donald Penn, to me it doesn't look like a team that's getting ready to toss a rookie quarterback out there this year. I feel like that if they're going to get a quarterback, probably address it a little bit later in the draft. I'd be a little bit surprised if they did it at 5.
Teddy Bridgewater.
That's the difficult one here.
He'll definitely go in the first round.
Yeah.
Don't say definitely. If the Browns,
No. I mean, yeah, it's not.
The Browns are – if they're sold on Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's his last chance in the first round.
Your latest mock draft.
Yeah, but then someone trades back in.
You still have a couple options. The one team I've been saying just keep an eye on for the quarterback position is St. Louis with their second one. Maybe not with the second pick, but with their second one.
Yeah.
At least consider. I mean, Bradford has not been able to stay healthy. At some point in time, you have to give yourself an insurance plan.
I like that. Or the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals could be a team possibly for Bridgewater, too, at 20.
Oh, that's nifty. How about McCarron? Has he fallen? Because we were talking about it in season, and it was like, oh, yeah, he'll be high second round kind of kid. And I know Bucky Brooks is higher on him than you are.
I still think he's in that second round range.
All right, listen, Daniel Jeremiah, you go and do your fancy TV stuff. We're very proud of you here to see the fast ascent that you've made here at NFL Media. You're doing gangbusters work. And, you know, again, talking about prelude, all prelude to him taking over an NFL team as a general manager sooner rather than later. No one will be talking in 10 years about George H.W. Bush and Rick Perry being at the pro day. They'll be saying, well, did you see who's here? Daniel Jeremiah is here for so-and-so's pro day.
I just want to know if in 10 years we can recreate this little show with the Dave Damashek basketball program. When the NFL folds, do we have a fallback? Can we transition to that?
By the way, yes. Done and done.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to be his Peyton Manning? Is it Jabari Parker at that
Would
point in time?
Stop.
He just ruins him every show.
It'll be Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. He'll be kind of at the tail end there.
Yeah.
All right.
What has he won? What big game has he ever stepped up in, Chris Paul?
That's the saddest thing, too, is that the little kids in the neighborhood are now all Clipper fans.
There he goes, the great Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks. Follow him. If you want to know what's going on in the draft and what the GMs and the personnel guys are thinking, follow him at Move the Sticks. And, of course, he and Matt Money Smith and Bucky Brooks are doing the College Football 24/7 podcast. Make sure you track that one down. So lots of good stuff as you get ready for this draft here. But seriously, though, Handsome Hank, what the hell is President Bush or Rick Perry? What are they doing there?
I mean, I have no idea. Are they going there to be seen? Are they going there because it doesn't make any sense? But it all adds to the myth of Johnny Football. And as much as the guy wants to run away from that, and I'm, you know, clearly he decided that between like their bowl game and the draft, he doesn't want to be Johnny Football. I have a hard time believing whichever one of the teams that DJ just said he may land with, I have a hard time believing that when he gets there, he isn't going to be Johnny Football again.
He was, I mean, this was a glorified practice session. I mean, there are no defenders anywhere to be seen. People, everybody's making jokes
there
on Twitter about the broom. Everybody's laughing about the broom and everything. But really, what just happened that this is such an event?
You know what the thing?
Who cares? You have two. It's not like he's a 17-year-old phenom who you have to go out and see what he. They're two. He played against Alabama. He played. I said Big 12 before. You know, plays SEC football. Isn't this the highest standard that college football has to offer? Look at the tape. If he looks good there, bad there, that's your decision. Not this hokum.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, last week was the start of March Madness. And everybody wants to go back and have some crepuscular drinking and do something in the morning and have a good time. And here comes pro day.
I see. So it's on.
Let's throw down. It's, you know, you wanted to go to Buffalo Wild Wings early in the morning and throw down a couple of IPAs. Why not? There's a pro day on. It's live. Why not? What else is on right now? Spring training baseball. Maybe a hockey highlight from the previous night. Why not watch this?
Touché. So what you're saying is, Adam, is that, listen – the three of us, you know, we are the so-called, we're a part at least of idea generation here at NFL Media. The onus is then on us to cook up these events week so that viewers, listeners, and so on can enjoy a drink without any guilt.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Like, it's weird.
Isn't it stranger, though, that, I mean, I get it, that the president or former, he's always a president, right?
He is always president. He is forever President Bush. Even though you watch newscasts and they say, former President Bush. No, incorrect. He is the former president, but he is still President Bush.
Right. But Babs went along as well. That's what I find extraordinary.
Yeah, what was she doing there?
He took his wife with him to watch a
She's
watch
a fan.
Practice.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Can I call her Babs?
No, that's fine.
Totally legitimate.
You call the your queen Queen Mum. Yeah. That seems pretty slangy. Yeah.
We used to talk about Mags all the time.
Yeah,
Mags Thatcher.
I don't want to count my eggs.
It was
before,
for him. I know you knew who it was.
I don't want to count my chickens before all the reports are in. But I am pleasantly surprised that we have not heard anything about Johnny Football slapping her on the bum on the way out. You know, I thought maybe there was a 50-50 chance that he might do that. Like, hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming out,
Babs.
Babs. So, all right, a pleasure to see DJ. And in just a little bit, another face that you see on NFL Network all the time. The anchor of Total Access, Dan Helley. So we'll kibitz with him in just a little bit here. Meantime, Black Tie, it's been at least a fortnight since your last blacklist. How about we remedy that now by blowing through some NFL headlines and headlines about the game called Life with the Blacklist.
The Blacklist. Black Tie reads current events. The Blacklist. Damn it, check and wreck if they're coming. The Blacklist. The
What's going on, guys? First off, on
we
the
just were talking to Daniel Jeremiah about Johnny Football.
Oh, you just were?
That's what was happening.
Was that today? Was Johnny Football's pro day today?
Yeah, it was. Well, because I didn't know if you weren't listening. You just asked what's going on. I just told you what's going on.
It's my introduction, you know.
What's
so
going
I
on?
Come in like, hey, what's happening? What's good?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. Speaking of things that we need, the booze that maybe you want to enjoy with a beer in your hand or not, that's up to you. But coming up soon, our latest edition of Off-Season Trainer, I sat with Eric Reed of the 49ers, got him mentally and emotionally prepared for the season by playing a little Jenga with him. So that video will be up at NFL.com soon. All right, get into it.
A lot of time to promote that. You could have done it at the start of the show. You could have done it on the back end, like right after the blacklist intro music. I carved into your precious time to shine.
Time
to just promote it. Either way.
Just go.
Oh, that's what
a lot of quarterback changes in the past week. Schaub to the Raiders. Michael Vick signed with the Jets. Mark Sanchez just signed with the Eagles. And both Chip Kelly and Andy Reid said, hey, Vic has a lot to offer the Jets. So what's your quick take on all these quarterback moves?
I like the idea of Mike Vick coming in there. I don't necessarily care so much about his counsel to Geno Smith and all of that so much as I do the practical challenge to Geno Smith and at least the short-term fix there. Eric Decker and Stephen Hill, if they've closed the book on Stephen Hill, which they very well may have 2 years in, but it is interesting that they don't feel bereft of pass catching options there. And Jeremy Curley's still around, right? He's still there as their slot guy, their number three guy. I mean, it's not a dreadful group of people. And Mike Vick, when healthy, obviously, as we see, can be effective. And with a good defense, it's not absurd to suggest that the Jets might be halfway decent. Rank, how say you?
Why don't they make that deal for DeSean Jackson? I don't get, because then you would have Decker, Jackson, Michael Vick. Perhaps you could go out and get one of the free agent running backs who is still out there, somebody like Knowshon Moreno, maybe MJD.
Knowshon Moreno just got signed by the Miami Dolphins.
Just a second. Is that no?
That's a true story.
Is that true?
I think in answer to your question.
Honestly, I have the NFL.com homepage up right now. Go. I didn't even know.
It's true. In answer to your question, though, I think the reason they don't make that trade for DeSean Jackson is that I think everyone out there believes, especially at this time of year, that he's going to get released. I mean, once you start talking about trading for someone or trading away someone, I think what it really means is we're going to get rid of this guy and we'd love to see if we can get something for him. But if we don't, we're still going to get rid of him.
But I get that. But if you're the Jets, you have to figure we're probably not going to be his first choice. He would probably maybe want to go back to the West Coast, play for a team that has a better quarterback.
Possibly.
So
DeSean
you could force him.
Also, I've heard, is a fan of money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's going to get paid regardless, but you're going to go out and have to compete with other teams. I feel the Jets' best chance of landing him would be through a trade instead of, hey, let's try to outbid him with all
these
other teams.
I disagree with that only because I assume that Mike Vick and DeSean Jackson, based on all the photos I've seen of the two of them together, that they're pally.
All right, well, that's a pretty big risk if you want to take it. But you're the Jets.
Well, you'd have an idea. I think you'd have an idea before you take that risk that you would actually win out. Because otherwise, you're right. If you can swing it for a third round or fourth round, then maybe it makes some sense.
I mean, he's an L.A. guy. He played his football at Cal. The Raiders would be a team that would scare me a lot, even though they have Matt Schaub as their quarterback. I would just want to make the move. Okay, fine. You lose the third-round pick. So be it. You're the Jets. You're probably going to blow it anyways. Why not take this? If Deshaun Jackson was available in this draft and you could have picked him up in the third round, wouldn't you have done that?
I think, you know, like we say, you know, him and Decker then becomes formidable. It's not it's not Julio Jones and Roddy White, but it ain't Jive either. That's a nice duo there. By the way, it's so Raidersy, and people still say that, as I just said, in 2014, Mike Vick to the Raiders would be such a Raiders move to make, except that the Raiders no longer do things that the Raiders do. Their persona now is to make bad decisions. They really continually. And then Dennis Allen compares Matt Schaub to the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's laughable. It's ridiculous that he does that. Reggie McKenzie, it used to be, well, you hang it on Al Davis. Oh, the poor old man has lost it now. There's something going on in that organization that has turned them into, we could talk about the Jags and the Jets and whoever else. I mean, the punchline of their comments, Dennis Allen signs Lamar Woodley and then says, well, the reason that Woodley kept getting hurt with the Steelers is because Dick LeBeau is using him wrong. Dennis Allen, you're now providing counsel to Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator of all defensive coordinators of the last quarter century. You're now providing him. Well, see, yeah, LeBeau didn't know what he was doing. You know, if he wants to give me a call, I can help him out with the other guy still there in Pittsburgh. You know, like, well, it's loco. I mean, listen, Matt Schaub to the Raiders, fine. It's not that far gone that he had some productive years with the Texans, and maybe if you give him some weapons, he can rise up a little bit. But there's no question that I'd rather have, of the three big name QBs we've heard signed, I go Vic 1, Schaub 2, and then, of course, Sanchez 3. I would never want Mark Sanchez on my team again. Is there any way rank that Mark Sanchez wins, not fills in because somebody got hurt? Is there a chance that he'll win a starting gig?
Ever again?
Yes. Will he be? Well, yep. It's September 10th or whatever. It's the start of the season. We're going with Mark Sanchez.
Yep, he's going to.
Do you really?
He's going to come in.
I think so.
He's going to fill in for Nick Foles at some point. He's going to play well, and then some team's going to be desperate for a quarterback and be like, oh, we could turn him around.
Handsome Hank, I'll see you on that.
I can't see it happening. I mean, you're hoping that Foles gets injured in order.
I'm not
for that
hoping
to
that he
no,
gets
no,
injured.
No, I'm not saying. But in order for your scenario to work out, Foles has to get injured at some point, and then someone has to fall in love enough with Sanchez's play and not like any of the other free agent quarterbacks that are available or anyone in the draft. I think Sanchez would have done better, quite frankly, to not sign as quickly as he did with the Eagles,
right,
and wait until mid-May, June, and see who didn't get a quarterback in the draft. There's going to be a team that needs a quarterback that's going to miss out in all likelihood. And then maybe he'd have been the guy that, you know, let's say A.J. McCarron gets drafted by the whoever, and he could be the veteran that starts for six games until they believe McCarron's ready. I think that's his best.
You know what's amazing, too? Go ahead.
He should have gone to St. Louis. That would have been the money. First of all, right. Sam Bradford's going to get hurt. It's not a win or hoping, right, or anything like that. And the next year, when they move to Los Angeles and perhaps playing in the L.A. Coliseum, here comes Mark Sanchez, his triumphant return to L.A.
Plus, with the offensive coordinator that he thrived under with the Jets during his glory years in New York.
If you use, by the way, Mark Sanchez as a yardstick, a human yardstick, isn't it remarkable? It's not just that the cycle has accelerated so much over the last handful of years, but it's happened in such a short amount of time he's been in the league 5 years, Mark Sanchez. Mm-hmm. In that amount of time, the expectation of the guy you draft in the first round to play quarterback, he has to pay off immediately or else you move on. I mean, Mike Vick wins that gig going in. What do they do with Geno Smith then? That's essentially acknowledging, yeah, he's a bust for us. Then you part ways with him. How long was Jamarcus Russell even with the Raiders before they just cut bait with him? Now, he had other stuff going on off the field. But Jimmy Clausen, I mean, it wasn't very long ago that Jimmy Clausen is he the first overall pick? He goes to Carolina. By year two, it was over. Jimmy Clausen is a backup. He's a footnote now. Will he ever play again? We barely even saw Jimmy Clausen play, and it was a couple years ago, and he's just basically a non-factor in the NFL. It's crazy to think how fast, if you don't get to the league and immediately do it, then move on.
In Sanchez's case, he kind of did immediately. Like, I mean, it wasn't
because
him, but he had 2 years where, and you know, again, I'm not going to say that Mark Sanchez led them there, but
they went
to two AFC Championship games, and still he gets kicked out.
But just as a reminder to the kids out there who don't know, who have no recollection of this.
Of Mark Sanchez?
I mean, no, well, yeah, a little bit before that. I mean, every cornerback, John Elway started in his rookie season, but a lot of QBs did not start the season. I mean, Dan Marino was the first round draft pick of the Dolphins. He didn't start the season. I think David Woodley did. Yep. Was the starter
Woodley
at the year.
The start,
just because that was the philosophy. You didn't do that. Terry Bradshaw didn't break through until year 4 or 5 of his career of playing competently. Not really well, by the way, either, but being competent enough to run him out there and have him play, you know, to put some stuff on his shoulders. This used to be the wave, mm-hmm. and now it is, if you don't do it, if you don't win the starting gig coming out of camp, then there's something wrong. Strange.
Very true.
All right, Black Tie, next.
All right, guys, good conversation. Diving deep, Jimmy Clausen, and all that stuff.
I love the surprise in his voice when he enjoys something.
Good,
all right, go ahead.
That means he's going to keep that bit in.
Oh, good.
Real quick, though, I would love to see the Eagles get another offensive weapon just because I want – not the Eagles, sorry, the Jets get another offensive option so they can be competitive so that division, that AFC East division can actually be competitive for once. And Pats don't – the Pats are always a game away from the AFC title.
Don't you worry
game.
About the AFC East, Black Tie.
Let me tell you something. If the Bills get, if the Bills get Mike Evans, let's say, now they have legitimate offensive weapons and some defensive pieces. The Dolphins are at least intriguing. I don't know exactly how to slot them in terms of expectations, but it wouldn't stun me if Ryan Tannehill. Again, now I said
with no
before.
Sean Marino on board now. I don't know what to tell you.
Whatever needs to be done, so we stop living in this world where we think and assume the past of this dynasty.
Let me tell you that world is swiftly coming to an end within the next 3 years. When Tom
it needs to happen
takes
now.
His final snap.
It
in
needs
the NFL.
To happen now. All right, second topic here on the blacklist. Gil Brent, NFL.com's Gil Brent says Mike Evans has the best hands he's seen since Megatron. Question is, which other draft prospect shows glimpses of an established NFL veteran?
I like how Black Tie knows how to use the brand whenever possible. Next item on the blacklist, on Black Tie's blacklist, Mike Evans, who is he very much?
I find him to be more like Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the guy he reminds me of. He watched him play the last couple of years with Texas A&M. That's striking the way he's going to come in. And I like it. It's funny because of that pro day, Mike Evans now jumped in, like his name was trending on Twitter and people are talking about him a ton. I'm like, do you guys not watch football? Like, how do you not know who Mike Evans is? This is a guy who I've been waiting to come into the league for quite some time because he's one of those big pass catchers who can come in and immediately help a team. If you went to a team like Detroit, and I don't know if Detroit could do this because if you drafted a receiver in Detroit,
it's high time they draft a wide receiver in the first round.
It's been at least three years now.
Yeah,
you know. But even if you went somewhere else, I mean, of course the Bears have Marshall and Jeffrey, so you wouldn't need a third guy. But you start thinking about all these teams. Think about the Giants sitting there where they're at. The Bills were another.
You
team.
Become. I'm with you. You become. I thought this very thing about the very team you started with, the Lions. Everybody in the world has Justin Gilbert, the defensive back out of Oklahoma State, because there's a need there for a corner. By the way, I love when people say, you know what they need is a shutdown corner. As though you just draft him and he is immediately a shutdown corner.
Right.
That assumes a bit much. But anyway, I was thinking about that need versus just if they took Mike Evans, the Lions now, they would be so overwhelming that it would make up for their deficiencies. You would think. I mean, I guess the Falcons and Bears, neither of them have been to the Super Bowl, so that debunks my point. But it just seems like if you have an overload at one position like that, what would any defense do? If I had Reggie Bush out there along with now Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson and let's say Mike Evans. That would just be an overwhelming amount of talent to try and handle.
You're banking on that team scoring 40 points a game, and if you can't, even if you'd hope you can stop another team from scoring 40 points.
It is helpful, Black Tie. I do like when people say, like, this guy's pro doppelganger is this, and it does affect the way you sort of think about it. I wonder if legitimately NFL teams do this. If you erase the name Jadeveon Clowney and you said instead he's Javon Kearse, which is a good sort of who he is like. If you said to Bill O'Brien, what do you want more? What does this team need more to drop in? Would you rather have Javon Kearse or would you rather have Russell Wilson? Because that's basically the choice you have in front of you with Johnny Football versus Clowney there. It does affect things, and I don't know what my answer would be to that.
Well, I think it just depends on what your current strengths are, and with that, it's still the same question that they're asking themselves
now.
Is
answer that. Jermaine Kearse or Russell Wilson? What do the Texans need more?
Not Jermaine Kearse, Javon Kearse. I don't want a fourth receiver.
He's our friend. That's not nice.
He likes ice cream, guys.
I apologize.
He eats ice cream before the Super Bowl. You have to respect that. He went to see a movie the day of the Super Bowl.
That's extraordinary.
What gives? That still boggles my mind. I'm a fan. I don't go out to a movie. I can't do something so whimsical on Super Bowl Sunday. Go see a movie before the game? He played in it and he went to a movie. That's weird. All right. Anyway.
I'd take Javon Kearse. I think he's going to impact the team quicker. Hey, I've got a good pro.
And by the way, it's not like they don't have other draft picks. And like we say, they could come back with conceivably Derek Carr, or they could go with AJ McCarron. And that to me would be just fine.
I've got a good pro comparison. Anthony Barr, the UCLA linebacker, really reminds me of Jason Taylor. Very tall, long arms, kind of, you know, skinny almost, not quite, but, you know, not a gigantic guy. And I think he could end up having that type of career where maybe he makes a slower start, partly because he's coming from, you know, he's still a year or 2 years removed from a position change. Mm-hmm. But, that's my pro comparison for you.
I like that one. I think Tony Barr can come out and be a really good – because he's falling in the draft because he went out and did 14 reps on the bench press at the combine, although his pro day was a lot better at UCLA. But, yeah, he's somebody who's going to fall to a pretty good team and – play really well immediately.
We talked to Bucky Brooks, another NFL media scout here last week, I think it was when we caught up with him. And like him, I am a snob when it comes to evaluating college players. I would love Blake Bortles, and there are a lot of pro comparisons you can make to him. But the thing that sticks in my head is Central Florida. What gives? I don't like that. That seems to me like, why didn't he go? There's nowhere that there was a fit for him. There's something going on there. And yet, he probably is the best guy. You know, if I had to make a choice, I would take Blake Bortles. If you didn't tell me where they went to school, clearly he would be the guy.
But Roethlisberger ended up in the MAC.
I know. And I think he's dynamite, obviously. And yet, I still, that would stick in my head if I were drafted.
But Joe Flacco went to Pitt. And then you
transfer.
You don't really care.
I know. We could do this all day. You can keep pointing out to me. This is ridiculous. These small school guys.
Not.
I still wouldn't take them.
Okay, let's not. Let's move on here.
Oh,
Hank's got to leave
Black
in a second.
Go
last
ahead.
Question on the blacklist. Speaking of prospects, Johnny Manziel has a new commercial out with his best buddy LeBron James. Those guys always tweeting at each other. It's
how gross
creepy.
Was that? How Nike immediately, as soon as his pro day ended, tweeted out like, "Here's the clothes he wore in the pro day.
Right?
You should buy them."
LeBron was also tweeting out. It's really scary. Either way, back to the commercial. It's a McDonald's commercial promoting the Bacon Clubhouse. So my question is, what is your favorite fast food item of all time?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if I'd had the Bacon Clubhouse.
No, come on. No one goes to McDonald's.
I just saw a pizza advertised for that has double pepperoni and bacon on it. And I like meat, by the way. I think I've made it clear that I have great affection for meat of all manner, and yet that one seems too far for me. Double pepperoni and bacon.
Is it the double pepperoni or is it the bacon that's throwing you off?
It's the gluttony of. If it were pepperoni and bacon, I'd be cool with it. Mm-hmm. It's the gluttony of the double It's a why the double pepperoni?
Why don't you go
and why slide bacon like that? What do we, or is bacon? Are you sliding pepperoni, saying you need two pepperonis to equal one bacon? I don't like that insinuation.
Some chain has a double cheeseburger pizza out. I'm not sure which. I think it's Domino's.
I think it's Papa. Because we had it at the Super Bowl.
Papa John's.
He delivered one. He hand delivered us one. In fact,
the official sponsor of the NFL, Papa John's.
Telephone.
There's the phone.
Papa John's like, handsome. Why did he say Domino's?
Handsome, I'm fascinated by your answer here as a newcomer to our land. What, by the way, real quick, what fast food
they
chains?
They have fast food there.
I'm not asking if they have it. I know they have it, Black Tie. I'm asking, Handsome, chains have reached the UK?
McDonald's is a global brand.
Is it a Royale with cheese?
No, that's in only in Amsterdam, apparently, according to Pop Fiction.
By the way, I was just going to say,
if
Black Tie would have gotten that reference.
I like what I was just going to say. Here we go. We have to take a quick detour to play. Has Black Tie seen it? A 1994 classic Quentin Tarantino movie. Pulp Fiction, Handsome Hank, I start with you. Has Black Tie, the man who has seen roughly three or four movies over the course of his lifetime, seen Pulp Fiction?
No, absolutely no way.
Incorrect, by the way, guys. It's once again, it's movies pre-95.
No.
So,
no.
94.
All right, so it's 1994 rank.
He's never...
Has he seen Pulp Fiction?
No. He's of the four movies he's seen in his entire life. Pulp Fiction cannot be one of them.
I'm going to roll the dice. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the eternal optimist here. I used to be really good at has Black Tie seen it. I've really gotten off the rails by having too much confidence in him. I'm going to say yes on this one.
Guys, I have seen it.
Yeah!
Oh, well done!
But I'll tell you what, though.
I told you're supposed to hit a buzzer when you...
Week.
I'll tell you what, though. I haven't seen it in a while, and I need to see it again because I don't remember much of it. I was pretty young at the time.
So but now if we sort
I'm
of
usually,
down.
Speaking of, you know how I have my things with movies, Brad Pitt, and I'm not a big Tarantino fan. His movies and his...
Stunning.
Left. How can you be...
You don't like Brad Pitt. You don't like Tom Cruise. You don't like Mel Gibson. You don't like sports movies, and now you don't like Tarantino.
Well, sports movies for sure. I don't know where you got Mel Gibson from. And to
you
know his work,
weird.
I just his shock and violence every now and then is just it's a bit off-putting.
How can you have a take on this when you don't watch movies?
Well, I don't watch movies pre-95. Adam Rank hasn't seen any movies since 2005.
That's not accurate at all.
It's reverse.
All the movie channels. I watch movies every night.
All right, Handsome. Lay it on us.
I'm
what is your choice? So you have McDonald's. You have Wendy's.
No, Wendy. I don't think no. Not,
do you
not
have
Burger King is
Baja
there.
Fresh?
No.
Do they eat Mexican food in England?
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Are there Mexican expatriates in the UK?
I'm sure there are some. Not California.
Do they do Taco Bell there?
No, there's no. I don't think so. I think Chipotle is there.
How Ooh. Weird. I've never thought about that. That would be. I mean, it makes sense that of course Mexican food wouldn't
Chipotle
travel.
Is there, yep.
To Europe, people right. often.
I mean, Mexican food. Well, the people, idea of Mexican food does, but not Mexican chains.
Well, some, but there are a lot of people who assume wrongly, obviously, that Spanish food equals Mexican food,
and they're different.
So, I'm surprised by it. All right, what's your answer here? Do you have Pizza Hut and Domino's over there?
Pizza Hut and Domino's are there. There's a good one called Pizza Express, which is kind of my favorite. I would go with. Because I don't really
favorite.
I don't eat burgers from fast. I don't eat fast food burgers. I like fast food fries, but I would probably go. There's a Pizza Express. I can't remember what it. I mean, any of their pizzas are good. They're thin crust.
Uh-huh.
It's delicious. Good toppings. I'm a simple
best
guy.
Of all time. If you go regional, you could kind of like work in and out or a fat burger, but that's only West Coast.
I'll tell you what I had. I had one, actually. We've got a colleague here, a young man called Mitchell Swartz.
Yes.
And last year,
the foreman.
You and I went to Austin, Texas. Mm. My flight somehow got terminated in Houston, and we weren't going to make it to Austin. So Mitchell Swartz and I, the foreman, decided that we would hire a car, and together we would drive from Houston, Texas to Austin, Texas. It was a 90-something mile drive, and along the way, we were both very hungry. It's 11 o'clock at night. We haven't eaten any dinner, probably haven't eaten for most of the day, and we happened upon a Texas chain called Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. Whataburger.
Whataburger, sorry.
All right, I'm just trying to say it so people in America understand.
That's for
Whataburger.
That's for our American audience. Whataburger. And a Whataburger was delicious.
Why can't you say Whataburger?
Oh, sorry, Whataburger was delicious.
No, you're making it sound like you're saying Whataburger.
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 Is how you're supposed to say it. Whataburger.
If I was saying Whataburger, I'd be saying Whataburger.
There is no difference between the two. All right. Wait a second. Hold the phone. Make some room, Handsome Hank. I know you have a meeting to go to anyway. Scram, because look who it is walking into Studio 66. I believe for the first time ever in his career here at the NFL Network / NFL Media. Look who it is, everybody. It's the host of Total Access, Dan Helly. What's the poop, fella?
I feel like I've arrived.
Yeah.
I didn't know where Studio 66 was until about 10 seconds ago, but I feel like I have arrived on the mountaintop.
I'm not going to jive you, because that's the one rule we have here.
Can't jive. I've listened, dude. Yeah. Last one I listened to, you want to know?
Yeah.
Willie and Dion Branch.
Oh, yeah.
Listened a little bit on the plane, actually.
Yeah. Willie's a delight, huh?
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Who is your favorite person here at the NFL Network?
Probably Willie.
Willie's number one.
Yeah.
Who's your least favorite?
I'm not going to give you a least favorite.
Yeah, well, give me like three or four. Give me like three or four names.
No, I'm not going to
boil
give you
it down from there. Dan Helly just comes back from the owners' meetings. Want to talk about that. Also want to get your thoughts on Jared Allen. And, by the way, as a little background on our pal here, Dan Helly, he is a Washington Redskins and, in general, D.C. sports fan, which makes us rivals in certain sports, or specifically NHL hockey. Although I don't know that you could call the Penguins' ongoing domination of the Capitals a rivalry. It's really the classic example of hammer and nail. Now, listen, Helly. When you walked in here, we're rounding out our blacklist here, and Black Tie just floated the question, what is the best single fast food item that has passed your lips?
Wow, that's a great
question. We just threw it on you, Rank, if you want to get your thought out here.
I'm too regional. I really don't go to the national chain.
Let me guess what you're going to say. You're going to say a grilled fish taco from the place you like down in Orange County.
Wahoo's?
Wahoo, yeah.
Wahoo's is...
Oh, you can count Wahoo?
No, I don't think you can count.
I don't think you can either.
No, Black Tie's going to sit down there. You know, I'm going to say Miguel's Jr., bean, cheese, and rice burrito.
What is Miguel's Jr.?
It's a Inland Empire
favorite. See, that's what you can't do.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Let me explain something to you about – let me explain to the listener something that is a weird regional phenomenon. I don't think it extends anywhere outside of L.A. I've never heard of it. There are places here that serve – I don't even know if they're fast food really properly. But either way, they do fried chicken and waffles. Have you had that yet, Helly?
Like Roscoe's referring to?
Yeah.
I have.
But a lot of places do it.
Very
familiar
with it.
Roscoe's is most famous.
I'm trying to do the low-carb thing now. The waffle thing doesn't go with that.
Why? You're already a handsome devil.
Kidding.
He's an underrated buff guy. That's the one thing that you don't get the sense of when you see him on Total Access.
No.
But you see him in person when he's rocking the, you know, medium polo shirt from the Gap. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he's got some pipes.
I love it. Helly, I've said it to him before. I say it again now. The thing that's great is your destiny was Southern California. I don't know what you were doing in D.C. for so long, because this is where you belong. The flaxen hair and the tan and the rugged good looks. You were cast to be in Southern California.
Well, if being skinny fat qualifies you to be in Southern California, then I'm in.
I don't know what skinny fat is.
Skinny fat. Accurate.
Yeah.
Built like Cesaro, which is disgusting.
I don't know what Cesaro is.
He's a buff guy.
Who's Cesaro? Oh, one of your wrestlers?
Yes.
Oh, here we go again with Rank's weird passions. All right, Helly.
Fast food item?
Yes.
Okay, this is kind of regional, too, and I grew up with it. It was in the D.C. area. It was Roy Rogers.
Oh, no, that was that. Well, at least that reached me in Pittsburgh.
On the East Coast? Okay. Yeah. So I loved Roy Rogers French fries as a kid growing up. I don't know exactly why, but they were special.
That is a great call, man. I have a vague sort of recollection of there was something meaty.
Wait, is that
a weird
food?
Description to say
meaty?
They
weren't like
fast food. It was like Arby's.
Was it?
It was the equivalent of our. It was the same thing.
It was very similar. They weren't steak fries, and they weren't as skinny as McDonald's fries, mm-hmm. but they had just enough meat on the bone, and the flavor was perfect.
You're so right about that. It's a weird thing. You know, this is a discovery I made in the last 3 or 4 years. Somebody had to tell it to me. It's sort of like, do you know there are certain mysteries that you only realize like halfway through life? People do it a lot with song lyrics, like More Than a Woman, More Than a Woman, you know, the Bee Gees song. My sister and I always thought it was Four-Legged Woman growing up, which in a weird, which makes it kind of perverse that you're somebody swooning over a four-legged woman. Same thing, the Milwaukee Brewers old logo that looks like a baseball glove is actually an M and a B if you look at it closely. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, take a good look at that. And in that same vein, Arby's is RB, roast beef. Roast beef. Did you know that one, Dan Helly?
No, but that makes more sense to me than the baseball glove being an MB.
Yeah. Well, look at, you know, the Brewers logo I'm talking about.
Yeah, just of course. Looks like I always thought it was a baseball glove. I never thought twice about it because that's what I thought it was.
Yeah. And did you know that the Vancouver Canucks logo that looks to just be a hockey stick?
Uh-huh.
You're like, what kind of logo is that? Just a picture of a hockey stick? It is a C. If you look at where the stick is, it creates a C for Canuck.
Did you know that the Pittsburgh Penguins logo, the penguin, is really a worm?
Helly's bringing his gold in here to try and take shots at the three-time Stanley Cup champions. They hold no water because you know why?
I know why.
You know why?
I
doesn't hold water because you don't have a cup to put them in. You're watering. Now listen, Helly. I blew that one. All right, let's talk about Jared Allen now. Dan Helly, Adam Rank, our resident Chicago Bears fan. How do you guys feel, Helly? Jared Allen and Julius Peppers, for that matter. Where do you come? Well, first of all, talk Jared Allen.
Well, I mean, listen, that Bears defense was tied for last in the NFL in sacks last year. So they had Lamar Houston, they had Jared Allen. I don't see how this defense isn't going to be significantly stronger. I love it. I'm not a Bears fan, obviously, as we alluded to earlier. I'm a big Redskins fan, but I think he still has a good bit left in the tank. And by a good bit, I think 2 years.
It's funny that if you look at the way his contract sets up, it's like he gets, you know, peanuts. He gets a million or two in year one. Then the next year, he gets like 13 or 14 million, ergo the Bears better make a good run in 2014 as far as Jared Allen's concerned, because I find it highly unlikely they're going to pay a 32 or 33-year-old man $14 million to play defensive end.
He's going to turn 32 here in about a month.
These hokey, weird contracts. It does bother
me. It's $15.5 million guaranteed. The other numbers mean nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Rank, you pleased with this?
Love this move. Thought it was great. I mean, he's younger than Julius Peppers. He was more productive than Julius Peppers last year. Hopefully, if he can jump over a block from John Kuhn and actually get to Aaron Rodgers and prevent the Packers from getting to the playoffs, that's all you need. And like you said, they've added Lamar Houston. They added a couple of complimentary guys. Another kid from Detroit came in, and a couple other. Peanut Tillman is going to return as well. So the defense isn't going to be dominant. It's not going to be Lovie Smith's defense from about a decade ago, but it's still going to be pretty good. And all it really needs, it just needs to be good enough. They showed last year, just be good enough, because that offense is going to be even better this year. I know everybody takes their shots at Jay Cutler, but he's going to have a fantastic
game. Isn't it ironic that one of the reasons he wanted to go there, A, he wanted to stay in the division.
Right.
B, he believed in Jay Cutler. I said this on Total Access, and they, of course, called me an idiot. I think the Seahawks defense is so good, and they have such a great chance to create the next NFL dynasty there, that if I'm Jared Allen, and I'm two good seasons away from being a Hall of Famer, that's where I'm going. I don't care if I'm taking the NFL minimum.
Yeah, I wonder if his ego, because the rumor is that they told him, you'll be a part of our rotation like everybody else there is, and he said, no, you know, I'm an every down guy. I don't want to be out there for half the plays. That's not the way I do things. That's odd. You know, of course, the trade-off would be a Lombardi trophy, you would think, or a good run at that. I think Tressman is that offense is going to take off even further next year.
Yeah.
And I like Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey more than I like Roddy White and Julio Jones even. I think
of
I'd rather have those two.
There's no doubt. To be honest, I don't even think it's close.
Really?
It's not even a contest.
I love Roddy White. He worked with us for a week, but he's getting a little long in the tooth, and he's coming off a year that he was racked with injuries, and who knows if that ankle's ever going to be as good as it was. There's no duo at wide receiver that is better in the NFL than those two, period.
You throw in Martellus Bennett. I mean, imagine that, how frightening that that trio is now. I think the Bears, you know, as much as they're going to sling it around this year, I love that their defense should be better. And, of course, I point this out quite a bit, but for 3 years, they've had – every NFL team has injuries. Mm-hmm. They have had impossibly bad luck 3 straight years on the defensive side and then with Jay Cutler as well. If they would just stay close to healthy, I mean, everybody, again, is going to lose some pieces along the way. But, again, last year, were they 4-0 when Melton went down, and
then
they really started to get off the rails.
Plus, they're going to get a pretty good draft pick too if they can end up, because all the mock drafts are putting in Jernigan from Florida State as the guy that they're going to go with. Another guy to put on the defensive line. Now you've got a formidable little defensive line right there working. I like it.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I think everybody strives to have enough talent on the D line where they can do or have a rotation like the Seahawks have. I mean, that. They could just move people in. They keep them fresh. If you're Jared Allen and you're 32, 33 years old, why would you not want to be a part of that rotation? I think that's what everybody's trying to build.
Okay, now, the three of us in this room, we always take that perspective of, like, I would go and love to play for a team to be a part of winning a championship. But when you're dealing with the players who are like, I just want to get my contract. And that's it. And not that Jared Allen's that way, because he did turn down more money from the Raiders to not go to that situation. So he just picked a spot of a team that's very good. They'd be like, okay, this team could go on a run. I'm going to go there. We have a chance to win. Seattle's not guaranteed a chance, but, you know, but I'm kind of with you, though. I would do that. I would do that, too.
Like it's easy for us to say that. That's a lot of money, you know, in terms of, let's just say, from what I understand, they were offering about $5 million a year. This deal's worth, $9 million a year, roughly?
Right.
Am I right? Yeah, that's a ton of money, and it's easy for us to say.
So it's easy,
you know, us little peons who don't make anything close to that.
I get it, but there's just no. I get it, and I know that it makes me delusional to think that they care, but it makes me crazy. The NFL, Commissioner Goodell should have some sort of rule, and I know that a free market and all that kind of stuff, and I'm all for that intellectually. But emotionally, I just cannot say. There should be a thing. You can go to 29 teams, but you cannot go to a division rival. I just hate Julius Peppers. Not that that's a perfect one, because it's not like you associate him with the Bears. But Brett Favre should never have been allowed to play for the Vikings. The league should have stepped in and said, heaven forbid, shame the devil. You can't do that. You can't cross those enemy lines.
You know, it's unbelievable what you want this world to become. You want everybody to be beige, and you want nobody to be allowed to play for their division rival. What will we talk about on this podcast?
I want to talk about this. Here's the problem for the Redskins. I want to talk about, as we talk about those great wide receivers for the, and by the way, there's a weird, just to finish up a thought about the Bears and Packers. You say the Seahawks have a chance to be a dynasty. The thing that, again, intellectually derails that for me is the idea that, well, yeah, but then they have to get through the Niners, and now the Cardinals are going to be good, you would assume, this year. But if you go back and look at it, it is oddly ironic that the teams that win the Super Bowl are the teams that come out of the toughest divisions. It makes sense of what you get. You're
battle tested.
Yeah, you're battle tested and all that. But it still shouldn't practically work that way, right? And it is interesting too that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, for all their success of getting their teams to the playoffs, it does stand out. They have one Super Bowl between the two of them in the last 9 or 10 years now. There's something about, and witness, now the Seahawks are champs. Clearly the NFC West was the best division that year. The Giants come out of it was a down year for the NFC East, but that's generally a rugged division. There's something to be said for coming through that. And I think the NFC North is going to be awesome, and that's why I'm going to pick right now. The Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I feel like that defense is finally going to be legit.
On this day, you're picking the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl on the 27th of March.
I see you checking your phone.
No, I'm looking to see what the date is. 27th of March.
That's right. I feel like this is a team, because I think the Bears are going to be really good. I think the Lions are going to be better at least. The Vikings are going to stink. But all right, they're two good, worthy teams that they're going to play in their division. All right, the Redskins, though, here's the problem for them. When are they going to do something about wide receiver? When Pierre Garçon he's not a number one, and RG3 is held to an unfair standard. I mean, that dynamite year, that magical year 2 years ago where they finally rise up and then it falls apart because of his knee. But they still haven't landed a good wide receiver.
Well, I think Pierre Garçon is legit. I'm not saying he's a great number one. I think he's a legitimate number one. But I'd like to see a 1B go beside him. And I don't think the young man they just signed from the Cardinals, Roberts, is a 1B. I mean,
I saw the online celebration for this among Redskins fans. All right, Andre Roberts, what a score for the Redskins.
The Redskins fans celebrate everything. When I sat down with Gruden a couple of days ago after the interview was over, I said, seriously, how many more wide receivers do you need to make this a legit core? He said, a lot. I said, what's a lot? He said, two or three. He said, I'd like to get two or three other guys to add. We don't have nearly enough. I said, well, what else do you need? He literally listed every position on the field besides running back that he felt like they needed an upgrade.
Why don't they just take a receiver with the second overall pick?
That's funny. You think that's funny? You know what that's
right.
like? You know what that's like? Drew Olmeyer, one of the producers here at NFL Network.
Could you imagine Sammy Watkins on that team? Mike Evans? Would they have been available at
Alfred
two?
Morris. And then you have Santana Moss now entering his fifth decade in the NFL.
He'll still score four touchdowns against the Cowboys next year.
Do you know how many picks the Rams, or how many players the Rams netted from that trade when it's all said and done after this draft? Eight. Eight players. We're talking, this is like the Herschel Walker deal. This is ridiculous when it's going to be all said and done.
Why is it that everybody always has to go for the Herschel Walker deal? Now, I don't recognize the St. Louis Football Club as being the Rams, but why don't you just – you can actually equate it to the –
He's a Los Angeles native, so he refuses to
– What do you want to talk – the Ricky Williams deal? Was that better?
What about the Eric Dickerson trade?
Yeah, that was
when
a –
They got Indy.
What was the
haul?
Traded them to
Indy.
Yeah,
what was the haul in that trade?
Six players. Gaston Green, Aaron Cox, all the big-time players in NFL history.
Yeah, it went great.
That was awesome. So terrible.
Helly.
Yes.
Tell me about – so you have met now with the man. Is that the first meeting you had with Jay Gruden?
Yeah. Well, we had him on the show, but it was via satellite. That was the first time I got to sit down with him.
Again, as you know, no jive. I am underwhelmed by the choice of Jay Gruden. Of all the people out there on the face of the earth to be the head coach of your pro football team, I'm surprised that Jay Gruden. Now, you understand, they didn't hire John Gruden. They hired his brother.
Well, I understand.
All right. Because sometimes I feel I don't know if the Redskins got that confused.
Yeah, how far were they into the interview process before Daniel Snyder realized, oh, Jay Gruden? Like, they're different people?
Yeah, maybe he was like, I'm so impressed by your body of work, Mr. Gruden, and you're great. And they realized, like, oh, this isn't John, this is Jay. But now I'm so far along, this is embarrassing. Now I just got to hire him.
Here's the MO for the Redskins when they hire head coaches. When one doesn't work, they try to hire a polar opposite, okay? Mm-hmm. Or when one does work and just leaves. Joe Gibbs, Jim Zorn. Mike Shanahan, Jay Gruden. Mm-hmm. So he wanted a guy, I believe, that was younger, that had less experience and therefore less baggage than a Mike Shanahan. And he's really excited, Dan Snyder is, about Jay Gruden. I wouldn't expect him to say anything else after a hire before a season's even started. I like Rude. It's all going to be about his relationship with RG3, period. That's it. He's going to go as far as that relationship will take him.
What do you think about them in what appears to be at least a real emerging powerhouse in the Eagles? People forget that in December, the Eagles, you could make a case, were getting close to the Packers were making their charge, and then, of course, Seattle and the Niners. But I think you can almost include the Eagles as like the fourth best team in the NFC now. Oh, how do you feel about that?
I don't disagree, but I also think that this is basically the same core of players with the Redskins that just two seasons ago won 10 games and won the division. And I think if you can get Griffin back, if you can add another piece to the wide receiving core, you have a tremendous running game. You got to obviously add a couple of pieces to the back end of that defense, too, to improve. And let's not forget, London Fletcher, who's been the heart and soul of that defense for the last 6 years, is adios. And right now your best linebacker is Brian Arakpo, who's playing on a franchise tag. So he does feel like he has a lot to prove. On the other side, you have Ryan Kerrigan, your second-best linebacker, but you need somebody there in the middle to help out.
All right, Helly. We'll wrap it up here. It's been a pleasure. I've wanted to get you up into Studio 66 for a long, long time. We didn't even get to really do much bio work with you. I like to get to know the man, Dan Helly.
Well, can I come on again? I don't see one picture of a Redskin in here.
I know. Well, who's the greatest Redskin, or not greatest, but who's your favorite?
My favorite's Art Monk.
Oh, is that right?
As a kid, okay, I grew up loving Art Monk. I cut my jerseys the same way. I just love the way he carried himself.
Do you remember that he was on the Jets? That's weird. That's a weird footnote in history that he was on the Jets.
You talk about guys playing with their division rival. He played for the Eagles.
Played for the Eagles.
Yeah, well, he definitely played for the Jets as well. Art Monk was on the Eagles?
Yeah.
I have no recollection of that. Why do you shrug your shoulders? Why do you hold your hands like that? I don't remember him doing that.
I don't
know
if you said this on or off the air, where you were bemoaning the fact that Dan Hanses doesn't know who, like, Ken O'Brien is. And things of
no,
that
he knows
nature.
Ken O'Brien. He doesn't know Richard Todd. He's a Jets fan, and it's weird he doesn't know Richard Todd.
But Art Monk, that seems right up your wheelhouse.
How old is Hanses?
He's in his early 30s. I don't care. You still have to know
but
things.
No, I know, but I'm just early 30s, like Richard Todd, you're a kid.
I know. I don't know. His brain turns on in like 1987 or something like that. He doesn't know.
The NFL player strike attracted him.
Apparently, yeah.
He loved the replacement players.
But bottom line, Helly, you've been out here now, what, 6 months, 8 months, something like that?
About 7 months.
Moved the whole family out. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's good. We just bought a house. We're moving in this weekend.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. If you need some help with that, I'm sure Rank can pitch in.
I never ask people to do things that I wouldn't want to do, so I never ask anybody to help me move.
Do they get production assistants to come down and help you out?
That's a great idea.
Like, what are they
doing? Pay them $20 an hour to come help us move some boxes?
I'd like to see you ask Willie McGinnis. Let's do that. Let's do hidden camera. Hey, Willie, can I ask a favor of you? Sure.
Listen, Willie still looks like an Adonis, but I don't want him to hurt his back or something. I don't want him to get one of those old injuries to flare up.
All right. Big fans of here on the DDFP of Dan Helly and his fine work here on NFL Network. We'll bring you back in here. I don't know what, for a Washington Nationals update. We should do weekly.
Just had
or
my
monthly.
Fantasy draft on the plane flying back
really?
From Orlando. I drafted, I think, four Nationals. Strasburg, first round.
Adam LaRoche. No, I have Steven Strasburg on my team.
Gary Zimmerman.
He's going to do well. Did you say Gary Zimmerman?
Or what is it?
Ryan Zimmerman or Jordan Zimmerman?
Sorry,
there are two Zimmermans. That's another one to add to the list.
Well, there's a lot of great Nationals.
But there are two
Gonzalez.
Zimmermans.
Right, totally right.
There are two Zimmermans on the Washington Nationals. Unrelated. Add this to the Jack and Jim Youngblood.
Yep.
Two white guys on the L.A. Rams on defense. Not related.
They spell it differently.
No. Same way, the Youngbloods.
No, I'm talking about the Zimmermans.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. An extra N for the pitcher, Jordan Zimmerman.
That throws it off. And then, of course, the other one that I love is the Pruitts. Pruitt. Two black men, both running backs, on the Cleveland Browns. Unrelated.
You're a thesaurus.
I'm fascinated
and
by this.
And yet you didn't remember Art Monk playing for the Eagles.
How long was he there?
He wore number 80. He wore like number 85 with them as well.
He was there for no more than a season. I think it was less than a season, I feel like.
All right, listen. Dan Helly, congratulations.
He didn't wear number 85 with them.
One year,
he had three games, one start, six receptions, 114 yards, which actually puts him 10th all-time amongst Eagles receivers.
That was the pain. That season in Philadelphia was painful.
95.
Six catches for Art Monk. Weird. All right, listen. We've said it all. Thanks to Daniel Jeremiah for coming in here and kibitzing about
Jets.
Johnny Football.
That's weird.
The Eagles thing really is just been erased from my brain. all right, listen. Like I say, thanks
hold on
to
before I go. You got Jeremiah. I'm trying to build my Twitter following. I have like three followers.
Oh yes, at Dan Helly, Helly. He's a delight. And if you don't mind tweets about DC-based sports, then you're going to love following him.
Truth.
Also, before you walk out, we've asked everybody in March. We may as well ask you: Thin Mints or Samoas?
Oh, Samoas. It's not even close.
Throw a bottle cap at you for
not
that. That's terrible.
Love coconut and
wait
caramel.
A minute.
Well, yeah. Like you, so, as long as you like everything, then you like Samoas, because that's what's on Samoas. Is every edible?
Samoan cookies.
Ike Taylor agrees with you.
The poop is these Samoan cookies.
Is that Ike?
Yeah.
Look at this. What is this thing? This seems so cool. It's a Coca-Cola build your own pack. Was this in the grocery store? Where is this?
Yeah, a buddy of mine who has a great website in D.C. ball hogs.
They're too busy trying to follow you. Look at that.
He tweeted that, and I tweeted out, and actually I got a lot of people, where can I find that?
That was awesome.
At a grocery store in Maryland.
Wait, build your own six pack?
Yeah.
Oh, then how much longer can it be till beer does that too?
Well, they do that. You can go to Total Wine and do that at any point.
Six different cans of beer or bottles of beer?
Yeah, you get like your own little carrying case and you build your own six
pack. I didn't know that. A Total Wine?
Total Wine, yeah. Go down, because I like IPAs, but I like to try a bunch of different things. Because IPAs, you're not going to pound like 12 of them, so you don't need a 12 pack like you would like Coors Light or Bud Light, the official sponsor of the NFL. But with IPAs, you like to mix and match because you want to try a bunch of different things. So
variety is the spice of life. My wife hates when I say that, but it's true.
Where you have a site that says,
I guess
sucks.
As your wife, she should be offended by that. How far does this extend for you,
Dan?
It doesn't
extend far at all. I'm generally talking about food and beverages.
All right, good.
Socks.
See, he's a moral man as well. All right, listen. Enough's enough. Dan Helly, go do your Total Access fanciness. Rank and I will go and toil in the newsroom. Black Tie, we're back early next week. Who do we have? We have somebody lined up, right?
Not yet, but we do have a fan package that we need to get to from Sarah Peters. I'm going to check that out next week.
Oh, I can't wait to open it.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We also still have a Josh Gordon headshot, autographed headshot that we're looking to give away. We'll come up with a competition to give that away.
We should
next
get
week
Helly
as well.
To sign his headshot, and we'll hand that out as well as a prize.
Totally.
I don't think we have many entrants. Black Tie, why do they call you Black Tie?
Well, it's a producer name that started on a podcast, and for some reason, Sheck, the idea was a tie rack of producers, and the first producer was Necktie Milner. And then when I took over the show, I was like, hey, I'm going to try to bring a formal flair to this podcast. You know, grown football talk, grown men. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with a Black Tie event. Now, clearly I was wrong because I have to deal with Damn Shake and Rank every day. But, you know, that's the background on the Black
Terrific.
Tie moniker.
He scored with a zinger late.
Hey, that's the best time to count it. Walk off.
That's true.
He just dropped the mic. There's nobody back there.
All right.
How do we
thanks,
end this?
Helly. Thanks, Rank.
Pleasure.
And thanks, Jeremiah. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.